Hey, this is Steve. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter what you're going through today. Today, we're a little over halfway through the year 2020, the year we will always remember in infamy. I mean, really, can you imagine a stranger year to be alive through? Seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, and we've even made up a bunch of stuff to go wrong that we never would have thought of before. We love to say that God works out all things for the good, right? So is there a plan here? Does God have a plan? Come on, God, this just seems to keep getting worse. Do you have a plan for us in 2020? I'm really, really glad that we're able to do this anyway. This message is really, I feel, very important. This has been a burden on my heart for the last week and a half or so, and I'm just really, really eager to get right into it. And so the obvious question is, what is happening? I mean, how can you not look around in the world today and ask the question, what is happening? I mean, 2020 has been a disaster of a year, am I right? Does everybody agree with me? It's been kind of crazy. So you didn't get to see the video intro just now of the whole everything, but on the video intro, we show kind of some of the stuff that's been going on in 2020, and the video is only like a minute and a half long, so it's like half of all the stuff. We show the impeachment trial that happened against our president earlier this year. We showed the rise in the COVID curve that happened. We showed the murders of Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd and the spark that set on fire of the riots and everything, the protests and all that stuff, crazy. And then the economic collapse that has happened. We've lost over $11 billion in revenue against us this year, and we see the COVID 7-day rolling average has just gone through the roof. So all that's on the video, but my wife and I watched it one day this past week, and her immediate response was that all? Is that all? Because there's a whole lot of other stuff besides those things that have happened this year that couldn't fit into the little time crunch that we have. Like what? What other bad things have happened in 2020? Murder hornets. Yeah, murder hornets is one of those things. Who'd ever thought murder hornets would be a thing? Do you remember the Australian, somebody brought it up in the earlier service, the Australian brush fires that happened in January? And just wiped out so much of that continent and so many animals that got killed. Remember that? Remember the death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and those people in that helicopter? Remember those tornadoes that happened in Nashville just a couple of months ago? I mean, this year has just gone from one thing to another. It's just been bad. There's murder hornets. There's even flying snakes. Did you see the video of the flying snakes? There are hello, y'all, there's flying snakes. What? They're called what? Yeah, okay, well, that makes it worse, I think. So 2020 is the year to remember, and you can't help but look at 2020 and go, what is happening? What is happening? Who'd ever dreamed up murder hornets, flying snakes, and some of the other stuff that we've seen so far this year? And it's kind of, every time you look at another headline, it kind of makes you doubt a little bit more. You know, it kind of makes you fear a little bit more. It kind of makes you panic just a little bit more. Because it seems like everything is crumbling around us, especially the more recent news as you watch how law and order is going away, and mob rule is taking over. I mean, that could make anyone fear, because frankly, we have a lot to lose. In America, don't we have a lot to lose in America? I mean, sure, we have a lot to lose here. We are the most free nation on the planet. So we have a lot of freedom that we could potentially lose. Right? We are the most prosperous nation on the face of the planet. We have a lot of stuff to lose. So of course we're scared. Of course we're worried. Of course we doubt And of course we've lost hope because we're looking around, seeing all these things, and we feel like, you know, next they could be coming for us. You know, next I could lose my job. Next I could lose my house. Next the riot could take place, you know, here in LJ. Don't laugh. It could happen. And so, of course, we have doubt and fear and panic. And so we worry, and we got to ask the question, what's happening? What is happening around us? How could it be this crazy? Well, I have good news for you, and it's the next blank if you're following along. What's happening is exactly what Jesus said would happen. You hear me? What is happening is exactly according to what Jesus said. Jesus talked about it several times, and of course you find out a lot of it by looking throughout all of Scripture, but I want to look at one particular passage where Jesus talks about what will happen. Jesus, in Matthew 24, starts out speaking this way. He says to us, he says, you will hear of wars and threats of wars. Do we hear that today? Are we hearing that? I mean, the news of that kind of stuff is sort of buried a little bit right now because of all the other kind of seemingly more urgent COVID whatever. But yeah, I mean, we're hearing about wars and threats of wars. How many remember it was just about a year ago that North Korea was launching missiles, and they were saying that now their nuclear missiles could reach the United States. And we were talking about the next big war. Remember that? That was not long ago. And of course, there's all kinds of other ones that we've been talking about recently. Yeah, we'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. And when Jesus is talking about this, he's talking to a group of people that when they hear about wars and rumors of wars, it's not like what we hear about. You know, for us, for we in America, it feels like war is generally something that happens somewhere else to someone else and not so much us. But when Jesus is talking about this, he's talking about something that would impact you directly. You know, you think you've already lost a lot. Guess what? There might be a lot more to lose if war comes, if the soldiers march in your streets, if your leaders are all killed, and if they're taking over everything that you know and love. So Jesus is talking some harsh talk. Wars and threats of wars. And he's not talking yet about famine and pestilence and disease and hunger. He's not talking about all that stuff yet. He will. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But he starts off with wars and threats of wars. And then here's what he says in the very next breath. Here's the next sentence he says, but don't panic. Because you're going to hear about this stuff going on, and trust me, you'll hear about it. Because all of our news programs, you know, they want to present the stuff that you want to hear, that you will tune into to hear about. Because the more you tune in, the more their ratings go up and the more their ad revenue can increase, right? So they'll make sure you get to hear about it, but he says, don't panic, don't panic. Another translation says, but do not be afraid. He says, it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad, but do not panic. He goes on, and he says, yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes, but this is all only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. What does he mean by that? This is all only the very first of the birth pains. So what he's saying here is that we are moving toward something, that we're moving toward something, that he is going to be making everything new, but that there's going to be pain in the process. There's hope, there's joy, there's new life to come, but it's going to be painful getting there. This is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Come on, Jesus, I'm looking for some hope here. You know, I'm looking for you to tell me everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. Just trust in me and the COVIDs can't touch you. That's what I want to hear Jesus say. But Jesus says, no, there's more to come. He says, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. persecuted, arrested, even killed. Are we seeing that in the United States today? Let's just be honest. No, we are not seeing that in the United States. We're not seeing persecution. I mean, yeah, right now, it seems like the message of the cross is getting trampled on more and more. It's becoming less and less popular to be a Christian. Yeah, we're out of favor in the court of public opinion. We are not politically correct in a lot of ways. Sure, we're being oppressed to some degree, but we don't know persecution. Am I right? We don't even know persecution. What would you do if I told you that more Christians had been killed for what they believe, just simply for being Christians, in the last 100 years than in the previous 1900 years? Persecution is a real thing all around the world. People are dying because they believe in Jesus. Jesus is saying there's going to be more. There's more to come. He says, many will turn away and betray and hate each other. He says, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Is this all sounding familiar? Are you starting to see these things? Are you starting to see it happen? Is it just me? Okay, maybe it's just me. Anybody? The love of many growing cold. And he says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Endure. Persevere. Keep going. The one that endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that the nations will hear it. And then the end will come. So Jesus says some stuff that ought to kind of send goosebumps down our spine a little bit. Ought to kind of worry us a lot. We think it's bad. We think 2020 has been the worst year ever, but Jesus says, there's more to come. There's more to come. It's going to get worse before it ever even thinks about getting better. And I don't know about you, but when I read this, this is really such a shockingly, incredibly faith-building thing for Jesus to say here. This really, really affirms my belief in Jesus here, because Jesus tells us that this is going to happen 2,000 years ago, and look at how it all has been coming true. Jesus has spoken this into existence all this time ago. And you would think that it wouldn't work this way, right? I mean, if in our human nature, our human reasoning, we would think that if Jesus really has a plan, then it would go something like this. You know, the world is broken in sin. Everyone hates each other and is out to destroy each other. And they're all under the judgment of death. But I will come step into the world with this new message of love and hope and peace like no other. Love God, love others, and make disciples. Oh, isn't that good? And guess what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. My followers are going to go forth with this message. They'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak this word to our world. And as they go forth with this message, it will spread and grow and change everyone and everything that it touches. So that as my message continues to echo and to reverb through the world, man, it's going to change the world. Humanity will cease to be hateful, will cease to be racist, will cease to be ugly to each other. Murder will go away, wars will end, and sure enough, by 2,000 years from now, humanity will have evolved to the next stage of existence, and we'll all be better. But is that what Jesus says? No. Jesus is speaking here and saying that idealistic view of how this is all going to work is not my plan. I have a plan, and you may not like it very much. But the good news is he has a plan. We can trust his plan. He spoke it 2,000 years ago, and we're seeing it unfold today. Doesn't that make you trust him more? Doesn't that make you believe in him more? Paul picks up on this and in Romans, he kind of gives us this passage. It's a very familiar passage that if I read it in a familiar translation, you'd immediately recognize it and know what I was saying. But I happened to read it this week in the Message paraphrase of the scripture. So this is a paraphrase. This isn't like your Bible. This is a paraphrase of the Bible. But I really like the way it's expressed here in the Message. In Romans 8, Paul says, "Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting." Aren't you tired of waiting? Aren't you tired of waiting for this to all pass? Aren't you tired of waiting to take off the mask? Aren't you tired of waiting for everything to get back to normal? I feel like I'm there. And he says, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. You ever feel like you don't know what to pray? You don't know how to pray? Someone says, all right, let's pray. Who wants to lead us in prayer? And, you know, everyone's eyes look down. Nobody wants to be the one. I don't want to be the one. I don't have the right words. I don't know all the Bible words. But the Bible tells us, God tells us, if you don't know how to pray, no big deal. He's the one that prays in us and through us and for us. He understands even your groans and your sighs. So don't worry about not having the right words to say. He knows your heart and right where you are. So it says he knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition. There's that kind of weird turn of phrase again. That our he doesn't mean he thinks you're pregnant. Are you pregnant? Hello? When's the baby due? I'm not pregnant. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that he knows that you're moving towards something and there will be pain in the process. He knows our current pain and he keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. I want to read that last part again. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. Isn't that great news? Do you really think that the COVID-19 came as a surprise to God? I mean, it shocked all of us. It was about March 11th. We still had no idea this thing was coming. But by March 13th, we had shut everything down. And it shocked everybody. Almost nobody was prepared for this thing. Do you think that he was surprised by the impeachment trial? Do you think he was surprised by the wildfires? Do you think he was surprised by flying snakes? None of this catches him by surprise. It may all shock and surprise us. And it may shut down everything we're doing. But none of it shuts him down. None of it can shut down his plan. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. So Peter is one of Jesus' disciples. And Peter writes this letter where he talks about this just a little bit. He kind of echoes some of what Jesus is saying, and he kind of makes it a little clearer to us. And this is a passage that I think you're going to want to read, and I think you're going to want to take notes on this. Because this right here ought to be revolutionary for us. It's easy to read right past this passage, but there's something here that ought to really change the way we see everything in this life. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, he says this, "The day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief." Now, I know part of us are thinking, the day of the Lord, Jesus' day, the Lord's day. Yay! Day of the Lord's coming. We're all going to see him face to face. We're all going to be there with him. It's going to be great, the day of the Lord. But look at how he describes the day of the Lord. It's going to come unexpectedly. By the way, it's going to come how? How's it going to come? Okay, so about the minute you start thinking, okay, this is it. About the minute you start looking at Bible prophecies and lining them up with headlines and saying, see, it's going to happen this week. By the minute you set a date, guess what? That's probably not when it's going to happen. Because it's going to come, how? Unexpectedly. It's going to happen. like a thief. And then, here's how he describes it. The heavens will pass away with a terrible noise. What does that mean? The heavens, the skies, the stars, the planets will be gone with a terrible noise? Will all of the planets and the stars disappear and now there's no gravitational force in our universe anymore? Are we just flung out into the void? And the very elements themselves, he says, will disappear in fire. The very building blocks of the universe will be burned up, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. What? The day of the Lord is coming, and everything you and I know will be destroyed. What Peter's trying to tell us here is that everything in this world is temporary. It's temporary. Everything you see and know is temporary. Sure, we Americans, we feel like we've got a lot to lose because we have prosperity. We've got giant homes. We ride in multiple vehicles per family. We have air conditioning, right? We have a lot to lose here. But Peter's telling us this is all not even real. It's all going away. When the real shows up, the fake has to melt into nothingness. This is temporary. And then he says this in verse 11. He says, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. Leave this up on the screen for just a minute. He says, since all of this is temporary, why are you living your life as if this was the real thing? Why are you living your life all worked up around the things that you are slaving over? What holy and godly lives should you live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along? See, I think Peter is showing us that we get our eyes all focused down. We get to looking down. We get to thinking about the things of this world, the things of this kingdom, this tiny little broken, temporary, lowercase k kingdom. And our eyes are focused on that. We spend all of our time, all of our effort, all of our money, all of everything on this going away, about to burn up little k kingdom. And he's saying instead that you instead should look forward to the day of God and hurry it along. Why are you looking down? Why are you focused down on this little nothing when you should be looking to what's eternal? You should be looking to what's real. You should be having your focus on him, not on this. If it was me writing, I'd say, why would you tie yourself to a sinking ship? Because it's all going down. Why would you link yourself to it? He says, on that day, the heavens, he will set the heavens. He will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth that he's promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. In other words, believer, listen to me, believer, if your eyes are focused correctly, then this world, this temporary fake world, everything you know, all the stars, all the planets, all the economies, all the buildings, all the leaders, all the movie stars, all the possessions, all the vehicles, all the everything is going to all burn. It's all going to pass away. And if your focus is right, you will barely even notice, because you're so consumed with what's real. You're so consumed being focused on him instead of on this. You know, you feel like you've got a lot to lose, but really, what do you have to lose? You feel like you've accumulated your wealth, you got your bank account, you got your house, you got your vacation house, you got your boat, you got your car, you feel like you got it all together. But what do you have to lose? It's all going away. Why invest so much when there's so much more? Why be focused on this baby little broken tiny going away kingdom when you can really serve a much better, eternal, never going away kingdom? Why tie yourself to a sinking ship when you can be attached to Him and know Him and look past and live past all of the disaster of 2020 and everything else that this world has to offer? That's His plan for us, is to be able to deal with all of this by looking to Him, by fixing our eyes on the prize, by setting our goal, not looking to the right or to the left, but by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Isn't that who we're supposed to be? Hello? Isn't that who we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be people of Christ, people of the light. Why are we scared of the darkness? Because the darkness will never overtake the light. Hello? Are you living the light? Or are you all wrapped up with the darkness? You think you got a lot to lose. What do you got to lose? Jesus says, if you try to hold on to this life, what will happen? He says, if you try to hold on to this life, you will lose it. But if you just let go, you'll find everything you need. So you see the COVID spike. You see the riots going on. You see the economy collapsing. You see the political polarization. You know what? All that can't touch you, because you are in the light. He's in the light. Walk in the light. Have your eyes focused forward on Him. Man, I've been so brokenhearted. I'll just be honest with you. I've been so brokenhearted. I've been listening to how some other preachers have been preaching about dealing with all of this during this time. Had somebody last week link me to a video message of someone who's local-ish, and they were like, man, this is great. You need to listen to this. And I was like, okay, I need to listen to this. So I got my coffee and set it up on my screen, and I listened. And I'll be honest, with this one and with several others, I was so broken-hearted, because I've heard preachers anger baiting their congregations, fear baiting their congregations. You know, here's what God told me. God told me that they're coming for your guns and they're coming for your Bibles, and that God's going to judge America based on how we Christians vote this November. And so we got to vote the right way. And if we don't, it's going to be a civil war. So get ready. Man, stockpile the guns. Get ready to go. You're going to have to fight, or you'll lose everything. And I've been so brokenhearted about how pastors are preaching this real mix of Scripture about the big K kingdom and fear that you might lose something in the little K kingdom. I want you to know, I want to make a promise to you, that I am not gonna point my fingers at them, and they're coming for your guns, they're coming for your Bibles, and never gonna point my finger at them, whoever they are, and say, be afraid. I will only point my finger to Jesus, because we can trust Him when He says, be not afraid. He has so much more to offer us in the kingdom. I'm not going to preach fear of what's going on in this world. I will only preach the word of God, which says on that day, He will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth, as He's promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. Sure, it's all going to go away. You're going to lose this all. It's all going to burn. Why hang on to it? Why be scared of what Jesus has already told you? Do you want to live your life on His plan, or do you have some other plan you're trying to work out? That's called rebellion, by the way. And that's what got us in trouble in the first place. God had a plan for us, made in His image, to glorify Him, to keep our eyes on Him. And we said, no, I'd rather work out some other plan. And we tried to accumulate the things for ourselves. And that's what brought the curse. That's what brings judgment. That's what puts us under the death penalty. And that's why Jesus came. So that He could step in and say, I love you. I want to fix your eyes back in the right place. And so with no sin of His own, no rebellion of His own, Jesus goes to the death of the cross. And He takes the guilt and the shame of what I had done. He pays for it in His own body. He dies in my place. And He rises again, not just to say, okay, bingo, now you're magically saved. But He spends the rest of my life working my eyes back up, working, prying my fingers off of this little tiny lowercase k kingdom and focusing me on Him. That's what a relationship with Him is all about. The more you focus on Him, the less this even matters. That's the hope I have for you. That's the hope He has for you. Be not afraid. Romans 8:28, we read it a minute ago in the message, but you're more used to it sounding like this. We know that God causes everything, even the COVID-19, to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. It all works out in the end. God's got a plan and He's working it out. And I know you're asking, well, what is He waiting for? I just wish He'd work it out. I wish this would be over. Why is He waiting? Well, maybe what He's waiting for is you. Maybe He's holding out on executing the last of His plan because He's waiting for you. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, he says, don't forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. Nope, He's being patient for you, for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but He wants you to repent. He wants you to repent. He wants you to turn from your old broken vision of your own little lowercase k kingdom. And He wants you to turn to face Him. Turn to look to Him. So how do we get on board with His plan? How do we align with His plan? Number one, next thing is this. Repent. Repent. Turn away from that old life and turn to Him. Trust Him. Stop trusting in your salary, your 401k, your retirement plan. Stop trusting in your political affiliation. Stop trusting in your preferred news source. Stop trusting in the things of this world. Trust Him. Turn from that. Trust Him. Repent. Next thing is this. Let Jesus be your Savior. Let Him be your Savior. Look at me. Let Jesus be your Savior. Your Savior is not running for election this November. The politicians will never be your Savior. The Republican Party, the Democrat Party, will not be your Savior. I promise. Let Jesus be your Savior. Don't put your trust in the political system. Put your trust in Him. Refocus. Our staff and our elders feel like we need this refocus now more than ever. All of us do. I do. We need it bad. And so we're gonna undertake a big initiative of refocus starting today at the Orchard Church. Our elders have decided it's time to call our church to what we're going to call 21 days of prayer. We really want to implement a prayer initiative here and get us refocused. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is not about showing up at the throne room of God and giving him your menu of what you want today. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is about realigning your heart back to his big capital K kingdom. Don't we need prayer now more than ever? Will someone just nod and let me know that you're conscious? Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. I feel like we need prayer now more than ever. So our elders, our deacons, our staff are very excited about starting today doing 21 days of prayer. We got three components to our big prayer initiative. They're for you. All three of these are for you and for me. The first component is a personal component. There is a 21-day prayer plan that's in the Bible app. You can get to it. In fact, you can get to our whole plan right there from your Bible app. Remember, I asked you to be ready for that. There's a whole plan. You can just get to it, right, Rebecca, by touching some button somewhere on the live event today, right? No, we didn't get that in there today. Okay, so how, Rebecca, tell us how we get to the 21-day of prayer plan that I told the earlier service they could just tap to. Okay, so all that I said about the Bible app, never mind about that. Just go to theorchard.life, theorchard.life. It's theorchard.life. There it is. And I guess it's probably about a halfway down, third of the way down. There's a little thing that says 21 days of prayer. Would you do that right now? I'm going to do it right now. Let's do it together right now. Because this is really, really important, and I want us to make sure that we do this together. Theorchard.life. So I've got it as a bookmark on my web browser. I hope you do too. And it's the second block right there on the page. Are you with me? Hold your phone up if you're with me on that. Good. Quite a few of you with me. We've worked hard to make this available to you. I mean, really, we've worked to make it available to you. Leverage this tool. So I'm going to tap on that block, and what it's going to do is it's going to take me, well, I'm going to tap on the button on the block, and it's going to take me to the 21 days of prayer page. So you can see right there, the first part of the plan is this 21-day prayer plan that's in the Bible app. If you tap the little teal button, it'll open up your Bible app on your phone if you have it. If you don't, it'll take you to the Bible app in the web browser, and you can start the plan. I'm starting mine today, so I hope you will also. And you will be having a 21-day of prayer reading and prayer plan. The second part, the second component, I'm really excited about. This was Diane Fowler's idea, and I'm really, really pumped about this. We're going to have three 24-hour prayer unbroken chain events. 24 hours of prayer right here live in the building. And I would love for you to be part of it. We're going to kick each one off. The first one is this Tuesday at 7 p.m. We're going to kick it off Tuesday at 7 p.m. with a prayer service right here in this room. We're not going to do reserved seating. We're just going to let people come. We're going to do the best we can to do our social distance everything. If we got to change our plan and do reservations, we will. But this Tuesday at 7, we're going to start with a prayer service. And then you can sign up. You can sign up right now for praying with us for an hour right here in the room. I've got some of my deacons who are saying, I'm going to give a sacrifice of prayer, and I'm going to sign up for some of the tough hours. I know for me personally, I'm taking this seriously, and I'm going to sign up for at least 3 hours in each of these 24-hour blocks, and one of them's going to be at like 4 o'clock in the morning, no kidding. And I hope that you'll be willing to pray with us. Just come in this room, and you'll be praying right here. And don't worry, you don't have to come here and wonder, well, how do I pray for an hour? I know that sounds hard, but we're going to give you some resources and a guide, and we'll help you be able to work through that together. And anybody can come at any time. You know, if it's 8 p.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m., if it's 7:30 a.m., and you just feel like you'd like to join in with prayer, you need someone to pray for you, just come sit in. You can sit here for an hour. Or 3 hours, or 5 minutes. Come on your way to work and say a prayer. Come on your way home from work and just pray with us. So we got the 21 days of prayer guide. That's personal. We got the focused prayer, 24 hours at a time, on Tuesday to Wednesday for the next 3 weeks. And then the last one is on Saturdays. We're going to do prayer walks. I'd like to invite everybody to join me for prayer walks on Saturdays. The first one we're going to do downtown. We did this right before the protest down there a couple of weeks back, and it was awesome. We're going to divide up into groups. We're going to have a guide, and we're going to walk around and pray for specific leaders in our community, families in our community, and different things like that. And I really want to encourage you to do that with us on Saturday. We'll be sending you out the details on that this week. So let Jesus be your Savior. Focus in on Him. Let Him work in you. And then next, live like He's coming today. Live like He's coming today. In other words, we're out of time. And my lost neighbor doesn't have a lot more time. And God put you right next to him. What are you going to do about it? Live like he's coming today and spread the word. Tell somebody about Jesus coming back. Man, I really hope you'll be part of this 21 days of prayer with us, because I think we need that refocusing now more than ever. That's my prayer and my hope for you, is that you won't be influenced by the little K fear, but that you'll be confident knowing you serve a much bigger, much better, capital K kingdom.